Aren't you having a good time?
Oh, sure, Misty.
Then come back inside and join the party.
I will in a second.
Brock, are you frying?
No, it's just...
I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime, or maybe something special. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast. Listener discretion is always advised. I'm your host, Alex. I'm joined by my co-host and a special guest this week, Austin. Hello, we'll start with you.
Hi, my name is Austin. Happy Christmas, everyone. Or Merry Christmas. I don't know why I said that. But happy holidays.
Are you British all of a sudden?
Yeah, you can tell from my British accent. I have our special guest here. Her name is Jade. Oh, she's walking away. Bye, Jade.
Oh, we have two special guests. That's right.
Oh, she got her donut toy and she's done. This is my new foster dog, everyone.
Hello, Jade. Nice to have you. And we also have Kelsey joining us again. Hi, Kelsey.
Hello. Thank you all for having me again.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, we heard it was storming in your area, or raining, or at least it was raining.
It is still raining. I mean, it rains here, like...
all the time.
Literally all the time. That's all people ever say about this place.
Yeah, except for when I lived there for periods of time, and there's no rain whatsoever the entire 6 months I lived there.
That's because you brought the heat. Well, you came during the summer. It was a fire summer, too. Remember when we went camping?
I do remember going camping in the fires.
I'm sorry, Kelsey.
Driving through the flames.
Literally, all I can think about when I think about your area is Twilight.
Oh, that's okay.
This is the skin of a killer, Bella. It's literally all I think about.
I've not seen those movies since they came out.
That's a lie. I feel like that's one of the things you would never admit if you
No, I have
it.
Not seen it. It's because I saw the last one in theaters twice.
Oh, okay.
It was so traumatic, my theater experience.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
I feel like they're worth a rewatch.
Probably, yeah. I'm down if you guys are.
It's not that bad. Honestly, I know people are going to come for me or whatever, but it's really not that bad.
Kelsey, we said you and I were going to watch 50 Shades of Grey, all those movies.
Yeah, we did. We got to see whatever the hell... Isn't there like a helicopter chase?
That's the only thing I remember in the trailer was there was a helicopter sequence.
Twilight's having a resurgence. I feel like people have reevaluated the Twilight movies as cult classics. So, Alex, yeah. I don't think people will come for you.
I mean, I guess it was popular to hate on it back in the day.
Yeah.
And that was a whole big thing. Of course, the internet and everybody loves to hate on stuff that's popular, but... it's cringy in some parts, and it's like, okay, the way that the actors were treated, like, I think about the way grown-ass women were treating Taylor Lautner, which is not okay.
No.
But, like, ultimately, it wasn't a terrible movie series. Like, it's fine.
It was popular with teenage girls, and as we know, you can't have something that's popular with teenage girls.
Never.
That's left alone. I mean, there were valid critiques about Twilight, but there was a lot of, like... that.
Yeah. Stripping away all the real life drama, like stripping away all the Stephenie Meyer drama and all that drama surrounding the actors and all that stuff. It's like, okay, it's a decent YA female leaning type of thing. I mean, it's not a bad series, but whatever.
I don't know the Stephenie Meyer drama, but like, I'm kind of fascinated to find out, but also like, no, I'm not.
It's okay. We can move on from it. What if Stephenie Meyer is the one who wrote My Immortal?
No way.
No way.
No way.
Incredible.
No. They didn't all have like Christian names, so it was not
that.
True.
Yeah.
Damn. We were so close collectively as a society for finding out who the writer was, but then it turned out to all be a scam, so we'll still never know.
Do you think, okay, we'll open the floor and then we'll close it. Do you think that My Immortal was a parody?
Yes.
Yes.
Like it was written...
absolutely.
...as a parody. Yes.
The Tom Bombadil thing sealed it for me. Absolutely.
Kelsey, you know we did an entire reading...
I know.
...of My Immortal for some godforsaken reason.
Go back and listen to those episodes, y'all.
Pokemon classic.
They're tacked on to the end of our early episodes. You can listen to our badly done dramatic reading of My Immortal, or really awesomely done, depending on your preferences, but good times. Well, this is exciting. We have a special episode this week. It's not your typical out of the drying pan fair, but before we get into what we're doing this week, do we want to talk about what we've been up to? Anybody have anything interesting going on in their lives?
I got a foster dog. I already mentioned that.
You kind of say it was sort of a rush. Go into more detail about that, Austin.
There's nothing really to say. She's pretty chill. She's got heartworms, so we got to keep it low energy around here. But that's okay, because I'm already pretty low energy.
How old is she?
6.
Aw, she's really cute.
So Austin's doing the whole foster thing again. So welcome, Jade. Kelsey, anything interesting you want to share with the class?
Not a lot of interesting stuff going on. I took up knitting a while back, and I finally finished knitting a gift for a friend.
That's fun.
Is like several seasons too late.
Oh my gosh, it's so cute.
You're getting way good at this, actually.
That's really good. It's like a Halloween theme, is black cats and cauldrons and stuff. Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, I'm stoked to give it to her. I mean, you know, Halloween is forever.
It is. You don't need to. It's all times, all year long.
Fuck Pokemon Christmas Bash. We're doing Pokemon Halloween Bash instead.
It's a tragedy that they never did that, honestly. Halloween is arguably more exciting, but whatever.
But yeah, I mean, that's really it. I don't know. We had a bomb cyclone up here. That happened.
A bomb cyclone?
Who came up with that name?
I don't know.
What is a bomb cyclone?
Meteorologist, probably. A bomb cyclone. You know what? It happened and I never figured it out. I mean, it's kind of like a bad storm.
Okay. What is a bomb
cyclone? No, we'll look it up. Let's look it up.
It says it's a, oh, this is interesting. A bomb cyclone, also known as a bombogenesis. Ooh, what the
fuck? Whoa.
Is a fast developing storm that occurs when atmospheric pressure drops at least 24 millibars over a 24-hour period. Do any meteorologists want to weigh in? Because that sounds fucking metal as fuck.
I was looking at photos online, and the first one that I saw was a tree that had fallen onto the bus, and then the bus. And when I looked at it, I realized that it was my bus, the bus line that I take.
Oh no!
To work every day. It was way north of, like, in the route of where I take it, but I was like, oh no, my bus. It really is the bus.
Well, I guess there's an excuse. He's like, oh no, I guess I can't go to work.
Yeah, that happened. Nothing else too exciting going on.
That's really all the excitement that you need, honestly.
Alex, what major meteorological events are happening in your neck of the woods?
Well, currently, the temperatures are a balmy 49 degrees, and it's sunny.
Oh yeah.
And,
That's been your Pokemon weather update.
Pokemon weather update. And also, it's some leaves are falling down, and that's pretty exciting. So,
anything else to share?
Who, me or just in general?
You. <I'm Kelsey. laughs>
I was on a work trip, and that was exciting. I think I mentioned, I will say just briefly, I managed to pull myself together and get my presentation redone because I lost everything when my computer died, and so that was really stressful, but ultimately managed to pull something together, and it's over with, and I am so grateful that it's over with, and I can move on with my life. Whew!
All right.
Ooh.
Well,
that is it.
I got some Pokemon news and out of the drying pan corrections and omissions.
Oh, our corrections corner.
Yes.
Go for it.
The news is Pokemon TV is back on YouTube, and I checked it out, and it looked like they had 8 episodes of season 1 up there. So off to a great start over on YouTube.
Wait, season 1? Like,
yeah, season 1.
Very beginning one?
Pokemon the series, the beginning.
And that's just 8 episodes.
That's what it was when I saw it.
You can get through that in like 20 minutes.
My correction is, Alex, I know we talked about the Pikachu having the black tip on the tail. I know we've talked about it before.
I'm validated, y'all.
We'll talk about it again. This is the moment. We've talked about it on the podcast, I'm sure. Yes, the female Pikachu had the black tip on the tail.
Woo!
But it was a specific female Pikachu, the cosplay Pikachu in Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire.
But it wasn't an entirely false memory then.
No, it was not.
I am vindicated. Everything I knew is correct.
All right.
Austin was trying to gaslight me into believing that it was never true.
Girl boss, gaslight, gatekeep.
Yeah, that's right.
Alex, I share your memory. That
Thank
was always
you.
One of those that I was like, this feels right.
It does.
I don't know why it feels right, but it does feel right.
I think it looks ugly, but well, that's just me.
Why does it look ugly? No, it doesn't. It looks cute. It's distinctive. Let's look at it together.
Because it's a lightning bolt, and the brown on the tip of the tail is the ground being struck.
Cosplay Pikachu. I'm looking this up right now. Here we go.
I guess the black could be a cloud. That makes sense.
What are you going on about? It's literally a heart. It's a heart shape, right?
I'm trying to think of like the symbology of Pikachu's tail.
Yeah.
The symbology.
I was like, I never thought of it that way.
Pikachu's tail is a lightning bolt. You never noticed that?
Well, I've noticed that. I've never noticed the brown at the base of his tail. Is a lightning bolt hitting the ground?
That's what I always assumed it was. Am I the only one who thought that? Am I crazy?
No, it makes sense.
That's the creative writing person in you. That's the, like...
Exactly.
Literary analysis mind happening.
I think it's the result of, like, 8-bit Game Boy graphic from the 90s, but whatever.
Is this where we talk about how embarrassing it was that I thought the hat is,
What?
In Ruby and Sapphire was his hair?
Everyone thought that.
The white hair.
What?
Have you never seen this?
I gotta see this. No. Because, you know, I fell off later on, so I missed out on some of the other...
All right, take a look at this character.
Oh!
Yeah.
Yes, I did think that that was hair. That's a hat?
It looks like fucking hair.
Brendan's original design looked like it was his freaking hair, and I was like, why does he have, like, weird old man white hair? I don't know. But it's a hat. They make it more obvious in the redesign, like, for the Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire art, because you can see his actual, like, brown hair sticking out from under the hat.
Yeah, and it looks bad.
It does?
Take a look at that.
It looks bad.
That is, like,
well,
it
looks more
sideburn.
Like a hat. Well, yeah, but you can tell that that's not his, like, hair.
He looks like he's about to hop on a bike and go somewhere in that second one. The first one, he looks like he's hiking through the tundra.
The bike is a big thing in Ruby and Sapphire. The mock bike and the acro bike.
See, I'm just exposing my lack of knowledge.
You're dating a bicycle. Like, you've been in a long-term relationship with someone who bikes.
I know. Well, that's why I saw that and I was like, bike.
Well, he has, like, a track suit. I mean, like, a bicycle, like, bodysuit thing on, so.
Yeah. Ian, or.
We can talk about people who we know, if we know, they won't mind us talking about them on a podcast. That's the rule. That's out of the drying pan policy.
Right.
He won't care. He has a jersey, an orange jersey that looks actually kind of like that. Not totally. It's the same color.
While we're on this topic... I'm sending you all the Brendan and May designs
now. Wow.
Alex, does it piss you off that they, like, de-sportified May's outfit?
All right, so the original... Okay, the one on the very left is their original art from...
The Ruby Sapphire.
Ruby Sapphire.
Yes.
Then it's Emerald in the middle, right?
Right.
And then Oras on the end.
I think she got, like, less athletic as she went on.
I think May got less athletic and Brenda got more athletic.
Like, it looks like the last Brendan and the first May should go together, and vice versa.
Yes. Although, I do think that her design is super cute. I really love her, like, headband. And I like the fact that they gave her, like... I think the difference in her looking less athletic is the fact that she doesn't have shorts in the Emerald thing. And then in the last, the Oras one, she's got white jean shorts on, which is not as athletic.
Yeah, instead of just wearing, like, bike shorts.
Yeah.
It's also, I think, her body, like, the way they've posed her.
Yeah, she's more lanky.
Yeah.
And I think it's the headband, too. Like, she's got more of, like, the headband, like, a cute headband on versus, like, a bandana, like a sport bandana type thing. So it's a little less athletic in that respect.
Sorry, that's our Hoenn section.
We love Ruby and Sapphire. At least I do. It's my favorite.
I love Generation 3.
Oh, it's so good.
Kelsey, it has some of your favorites, Sableye and Whismur.
I know. I love Whismur. I love Sableye.
Well, Alex, I have a question for you. This is my last correction and omission.
What is that?
Do you remember us watching the Jinx episode and you saying you hope we hear that song again? The song they play during the end credits?
like the bluegrass type one?
Yes.
Yes, I do remember that.
Did you catch that we did hear it again?
Was it in the Pikachu short that we watched?
Yay, you got it.
Yay, because that was the only other like cowboy type of country thing that we've done recently. I do remember that.
That's it. I just wanted to point that out.
Spin your partner, throw him on the ground.
Throw him on the ground?
Yeah, throw him on the fucking ground.
Wow.
Should that be the episode title for our previous episode, Alex? Throw them on the ground.
Spin your partner, throw him on the ground. I'm not even kidding, Kelsey. That's the lyrics to the song. Check out the Latias and Latios episode and you'll see what I'm talking about.
If we ever come up with a title for it.
We still have not, but it could be that. It could be throw him on the ground. All right. Well, with that, do we have any more corrections or notations that we need to make, Austin?
Nope. I have nothing more to delay us from talking about Pokemon Christmas Bash.
Okay, so, spoiler alert. That is our special episode. It's our Christmas episode. And Austin had the really lovely idea to talk about, to listen to, and then to talk about the Pokemon Christmas Bash album, musical album.
What a treat.
What a treat. This is going to be really interesting. I have zero or next to zero background on this. I just know that it came out in October of 2020.
Whoa.
October. It came out in October of 2001.
How awesome would that have been if the four kids actors reunited in 2020 to make a Pokemon Christmas album?
Well, that's when all the celebrities were sitting around singing anyway, so.
Oh, that's true. Imagine.
Aren't some of them no longer
yeah,
with
you're
us?
Right, Kelsey. Maddie Blaustein was no longer with us by that point. So they got the AI-generated Maddie Blaustein, I guess.
No, that's so disrespectful. Oh, my God. You cannot, in good conscience, have, like, a reunion without her. And now Rachel Lilis, like, it's too sad. We can't
never
do it.
It never happened.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, Austin, do you have any other notes or background or, like, what the heck this is about? Or
nope. I had no idea this existed.
Yes, you did. We did.
Really?
We knew this.
No, I knew this existed when I was looking up Christmas shit.
Oh.
For, like, what we could do. And I was like, oh, well, this will work. I've never heard of this before.
I think I used one of the tracks as a clip it on an Instagram post I did last Christmas.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. The winter is the coolest time of year one. But Pokemon really does love its Christmas stuff. Like, we've had so much Christmas-themed, like, episodes and extra stuff.
Well, this is kind of the last one we have, so enjoy it while we can. We're going to be more creative next year.
So do you know why they stopped doing Christmas stuff? I mean, this sort of dropped off after 2001.
I have no idea. Probably because Pokemon kind of dropped off at this time.
That's such a wild thing to me. Like, it's so incredibly popular and it's enduring. And there was a time period where it sort of lulled in popularity.
Are there more recent? Because Pokemon had a resurgence, for sure, in pop culture.
Yeah, but nothing I can think of other than, like, you know, advent calendars and stuff like that. Like, stuff you can buy. Nothing of substance like this album is.
My housemate and I were talking, actually, about how this kind of thing was such a thing in the early 2000s and 90s. I mean, you know, my aunt has the Sailor Moon Christmas CD.
We should do that next year.
The Sailor Moon Christmas CD. Oh my gosh, I want to listen to that.
It is not in English, I think.
That's okay.
And I think it was just released in Japan? Question mark.
Is it of similar quality to this?
I have no idea. I've never heard it.
Oh.
Is this like, I mean, does it speak to like our society and like the cynicism of our society that we just don't really care as much about the holidays as we used to? And like everybody's just like, eh, been there, done that.
Can you blame us?
I mean, no. No. I think, okay, so ever since 2001, honestly, things have kind of gone to shit. But I just noticed that. I mean, I notice, and you guys probably do too. It's like nobody really does anything for Halloween anymore. Nobody really does anything for Christmas. Like, I've seen less decorations up for stuff.
I didn't put up a tree this year. I'm done.
Yeah, like, people are just kind of burnt out on the joy. I think all the joy's been sucked out of our lives, so we don't have time. We're all overworked and underpaid. And
don't worry. Nurse Joy is here at the Christmas party. We're fine.
Oh, good.
She is. Yes.
Everybody's fed up.
Merry Christmas from Out of the Drying Pan.
Well, this is why we're doing this, right? We're going to try to bring a little bit of cheer back to
the masses. Life. Yeah.
Yeah. Just even if for an hour for your day, we're going to try to bring some holly jolliness. So yeah, that's what we're doing. It'll be fun. The songs are absolutely wild. I think we're going to have more to say about some than others. So how do you guys want to do this? We want to just kind of give our thoughts on each one and go along, or pretty informal, I think.
So y'all said you wanted to like listen to a 10 seconds of each track and then we'll discuss it.
We're going to do a snippet, okay. I think, and then we'll regroup and talk about our thoughts.
How long should we have a snippet?
Let's do 10 seconds or 15. What do you guys think?
Well, each of these videos will have an ad before them, just true, so you're true. Aware.
Raise your hand when you're done.
Yeah, just raise your hand when you get to the 15-second mark of the album, and then we'll come back.
God, remember when YouTube wasn't shit?
No. But yes, I do.
Wait, good comeback.
It was all shit. She saw it from the beginning. It was all shit. All
right, I'll meet you guys in 15 seconds.
All right.
Christmas, the time of year for peace on earth and to spread good cheer. A bash, a rocking party, filled with fun where the laughter is hearty. It's the Pokemon Christmas Bash, with Team Rocket, Brock, Misty, and Ash. So without further ado, here's a Pokemon holiday greeting for you.
Who's that Pokemon at the Pokemon Christmas Bash? Who's that Pokemon?
Team Rocket, Brock, Misty, and Ash.
Who's that Pokemon at the Pokemon Christmas Bash? Who's that Pokemon?
I don't know if we mentioned it, but all these tracks are on YouTube legally for free. Y'all, just so you know, if you want to follow along with us in our Yuletide cheer.
This one was a great start to the album, I think.
Oh, I thought this was the cringiest shit I ever heard in my entire life.
You don't like the James's ooh as a beat in the beginning? Because I do.
Oh, wait, is that James?
It can't be anything else, can it? It has to be him.
Is that Eric Stewart making that noise?
It sounded like that to me.
Oh, okay, that makes the song amazing then.
The very, very first thing that I noticed was that all the comments are turned off of all of these videos.
Well, of course they are.
A great start to any album.
Well, any Pokemon media that's on YouTube, the comments are off because it's on YouTube Kids.
Which is obviously, it's sad that they have to do that, but at the same time, they absolutely do because people go on there and put like unhinged shit on YouTube comments. So,
see, I didn't know that.
You just thought they were like, we're not letting people talk about this crap.
Yeah, it was like, I had visions of comment sections that were just like, what is this garbage?
Before we talk about the song proper, I think we should mention the album art.
Oh, you mean the clip art they put together in 3 seconds?
Yeah, the very, very creative and lovingly put together album artwork. We've got a big old Pikachu, front and center, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then we've got a random clip art of Totodile, a giant fucking Sentret that's, like, looming over Totodile, a Cyndaquil that's perched on Sentret's ear.
Oh, yeah.
Chikorita is very tiny and jumping over the Pokemon logo.
Chikorita looks okay because it looks like she's part of the logo.
Yeah, but then there needs to be something like else, like maybe on the bottom right corner to like balance it out visually, but like, I don't know. And then we have a Togepi that's in the background. Gligar is there.
Doing the Gligar Man pose.
Right? Random. And then a Christmas tree. And that's it.
It's giving Pokemon the first movie poster vibes where all the Pokemon are just taking up space and they're all like disparate size. It doesn't make any sense. Like Meowth is like an inch tall. But it looks better than that movie poster, because that movie poster is the ugliest shit I've ever seen in my life.
Where are, like, the twerps? Like, they're the ones singing on these tracks. Like, why aren't they on the album art? What's happening?
Yeah, they could have, like, put them in, like, Christmas hats and shit.
Yeah, that would be cute. Oh my god, such a good idea. Like, if they drew them with, like, a little Christmas outfits. Like, why isn't Pikachu dressed like Santa or something?
This was made on a budget of $3.
You know, I was thinking when we were, like, listening through, I was like, how much do you think they got paid to sing on these tracks?
They sound like they're having fun. I'll say that. Yeah, about they do. This. They do sound like they're having a fun time. And you know what? Can't hate on it. I bet it was fun.
I just envision like somebody from the Pokemon Company standing in the dark shadows with like a Switch, and they're like, you better fucking like this and be happy or you're gonna get this Switch.
I feel like the Pokemon Company wasn't as big of an organization then, though. I feel like this was, like, almost entirely a four kids joint.
Yeah, this absolutely has four kids written all over it. This begs the question, are there four kids dub Christmas albums for the other shows? Like, is a Yu-Gi-Oh! Christmas album out there?
That is an excellent question that we're gonna find out the answer to.
That's such a great question, Kelsey. Like, how much of this was, like, pervasive in the pop culture scene back then?
This did give me big, what do you call it, Yu-Gi-Oh! Battles to, or Songs to Duel By soundtrack vibes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they do also say duel in one of the songs.
Songs to Duel By? Is that like real life?
Oh my God. Yu-Gi-Oh! 4 Kids album.
Guys, what the hell? I have no idea. I never knew this was a thing. What?
I think Songs to Duel By is... it's Music to Duel By.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know if it is better or worse.
Than this?
Yeah.
Is there a Digimon one, Austin? I feel like...
I know there's a Digimon Halloween thing done by the Bahaman who let the dogs out.
What? Are you kidding me?
See, this is what we were saying. We were saying what? That they don't do this sort of stuff anymore.
No, they don't. They don't have fun anymore.
Oh my God. Okay, wait. So Digimon's a real one for actually acknowledging Halloween. Oh my God. That's amazing.
Okay. What I found from searching Google for Yu-Gi-Oh, I couldn't find a Yu-Gi-Oh album, but I did find on the official Yu-Gi-Oh YouTube page, it's Time to Yule Holiday Remix.
I saw that also. I did see that.
Oh, you saw that?
Yeah.
That might have to be a bonus track for us at the end of this.
Can you please include that as like our outro song?
Sure. Oh my God. We'll get to that. That'll be like post credits or something.
It's Time to Yule. I love it.
Are you guys aware that there are karaoke versions of these Pokemon songs?
The Pokemon Christmas Bash songs?
Yes.
There's two at the end of the album. Yeah, I saw that.
When are we hosting our karaoke Christmas party?
Right now. All right, Alex, go. Take us away.
I literally cannot remember the lyrics to these songs if I tried. Let's just talk. Before we can karaoke, though, we have to talk about the song. So I think we should start there.
All right, let's do the first one. Pokemon Christmas Bash. I said this was the cringiest shit I'd ever heard.
False.
Oh, okay. We're coming in hot. Because... every character has, like, their own rap verse introduction.
And it's amazing!
It is awful?
Oh, we are disagreeing here.
They're introducing themselves as the MC. Oh, this is, like in the 80s and 90s when, like, rap was becoming a really popular genre and all of a sudden you had PSAs that were rapped, or, like, cartoons and stuff had raps and this is the early commercialization of rap in media.
So Pokemon's like 15 years behind the curve. That sounds about right.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, this is a very distinctly like early, you have your MC and they're introducing themselves and they're going to tell you what they're going to say. Mm.
It's your boy. You already know who it is. It's Ash Ketchum.
Yeah, straight out of palette. I didn't really know who it was.
So where is, like, Guzma during this? Because I feel like that's his thing.
He's not even a gleam in Kintsugi Mori's eye yet.
Not yet. Team Skull, this is their jam. What do we think about Dexter rapping the first stanza?
It took a second for me to figure out who that was. We decorated our Christmas tree last night, my housemates and I, and we played this.
Oh, I was going to ask if you listened to this with them. I was going to ask that because you mentioned them.
Yes. It was an experience. It was a time.
How inebriated were you?
Not that inebriated.
Oh, okay.
But slightly.
My housemate, she pointed out that it was the Pokédex. I was like, I had no idea who that was the entire time. I was like, is this a Magnemite? I don't know why that was my thought.
Could you imagine if Magnemite dropped the sickest bar we've ever heard?
Oh, if that was the case, it wouldn't be this. But, yeah, we were like, oh, yeah, it's the Pokédex.
I much prefer when the Pokédex came to life as a human being in Pokémon Live and had his,
that was
like,
amazing.
Sexy female background dancers. That was a way more fun than this.
Shout out to Pokémon Live, the greatest piece of media ever crafted by mankind. Okay, so who had our favorite bar then, like rap bar, during this song? Was it Brock, Misty, or Ash? Or Jesse.
The only one I can remember off the top of my head was Misty saying, I'm Misty. I got Starmie with me. And I, like, left my body in that moment.
She got a Christmas tree full of Pokeballs.
Is that what she says?
At the end, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I do have some notes. All right, let's get analytical, because I
Please
do have
do. We should be looking at the lyrics, actually. What am I thinking?
Yeah.
Okay, my favorite bar is from Brock. He seems like he'd be the most 90s, and I'm just picturing him with, like, a snapback cap on, like, turned around, and, like, I don't know. He just seems like he fits in better with all this. Did you guys catch the whole Misty and Ash thing?
Oh, Misty's a girl, therefore all she wants is just one dance with Ash.
One dance. Just one dance with Ash.
Yeah, just give me one dance with Ash. And she was very flirty when she says that. And I'm like, oh, we're back to that old shit again.
I put a list of all the lyrics in the chat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're on Bulbapedia. See, I have it pulled up on genius.com.
Oh!
Oh, it's actually on a lyrical website. That's
amazing.
You know
it. It is amazing.
Why was Brock your favorite, Alex?
Because I think his lines were... I don't know. I just picture him fitting in and, like, doing... His rap was better than the other two's. Like, I don't know. And plus, he referenced Professor Ivy, so I thought that was funny.
Who would have thought we'd have continuity from Pokemon Christmas Bash?
I know. I was like, oh, we're throwing all the way back to, like, Orange Islands, and we're going to...
Well, this came out in early Johto, so I think Brock being back is a big...
Well, yeah, because he says, novelty. I'm Brock, back on the block, from a quick little skid with Ivy's flock.
I'm still Brock from the block.
And then it just reminded me of, like, Jenny from the block, so...
I don't have a lot to say about Brock. My notes just say, his only wish is for someone to reciprocate his affection. Sad.
Well, so is Misty's.
So yeah, is
Misty wants to dance with Ash.
That's true, and that felt out of character to me. I didn't like it. She sounds, like, kind of wistful. I don't know. It made me feel uncomfortable.
She's always like that when 4Kids creates content. It's always her... That's all she
Live.
Is. Yeah.
She was, like, having an attack over Ash not loving her back or whatever, but... Jesse and James sounded really, like, they were super sultry, like, their lyrics during this part. I was like, oh, woo.
This year we're going to fill your stocking.
Right?
When we were listening to this, my housemate and I, there is a part in that section where James says, we thought we'd change our ways and be nice on Christmas Day. But he doesn't just say it like that. He
exactly.
says, be nice on Christmas Day. And I was like, and my husband looked at me and was like, the old James voice actor was the best. I don't want to hear it. And I was like, that was not what I was going to critique.
I mean, it's really hard to do it justice. Like, please, everyone, we encourage you to listen to this yourselves. But, like, Eric Stewart was, like, really... getting low and down and dirty with that lyric. I was like, ooh.
You're hamming it up.
Made me feel some kind of way. I was like, okay.
Oh, God, you guys.
Stop this.
That vibe is all over these songs in ways that feel strange and inappropriate. Ash, what is there to say about Ash's line? He wants to be a Pokemon master. He wants to roast chestnuts on Charizard's tail.
Has anybody ever, like, eaten a roasted chestnut, like...
Nope.
No.
Where do you even buy a chestnut? I don't think I've ever, like, seen one.
Yeah, I guess same. I mean, I've never looked for one.
I'm gonna be honest, I never really thought about the line, roasting chestnuts on an open fire, and thought of them as, like, consumable, edible goods. So this is, like, opening up a whole new world for me to consider.
I mean, it's literally in every Christmas song. I mean, chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
I was, like, way more concerned by Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
Oh, right.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
Y'all, do you remember that scary fucking movie with the Jack Frost, like, horrible snowman movie? Ugh!
Hinton and Workshop made that puppet.
It was a scary puppet.
Am I thinking of the same movie? No.
Are we? The child's dad dies.
And he turns into Jack Frost.
The one with Michael Keaton?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I guess it is. You're right. It is a puppet. I never saw that movie.
You're not missing much.
I saw ads for it a lot.
Well, I think they aired it on, like, the children's channel. Like, they aired ad for that on, like, Nickelodeon and crap at the time.
Wow, the poster for this movie.
I've seen it before.
Something.
Yeah, whoa. I completely forgot that was Michael Keaton who played that movie, or played that character in that movie.
Also, the casting of Michael Keaton is funny to me. I've never seen this movie. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels sinister. Like,
it is.
And part of that is the casting of Michael Keaton, who I associate with things like Beetlejuice.
Okay.
I don't, like he does that kind of like comical villainous thing.
The Vulture.
But yeah, he's the Vulture. he's Batman, which, yeah, I don't know. As a kid, I was like, not that guy. I don't want him showing up at my house for Christmas.
I actually have some, like, secret Jack Frost knowledge.
Oh,
what?
I gleaned this from the How Did This Get Made podcast on the Jack Frost episode. Okay. Apparently, they cast George Clooney, but he dropped out. So Henson Workshop made the snowman look like George Clooney. And I don't know about you guys, that snowman puppet does not look like George Clooney.
No.
What? I would have never made that connection.
In fact, I actually think it looks a lot more like Michael Keaton.
I don't think it looks like either of them, but it definitely doesn't look like George Clooney.
I mean, it just looks like a generic, kind of like a Pillsbury Doughboy looking thing. Like,
oh, he's menacing. He has menacing energy.
Pillsbury Doughboy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Part of the problem is the puppet has a chin.
Oh, my God, you're right. Yeah, it has a double chin thing going on.
It has, like a chin, which makes sense from a construction standpoint, like, logistically. I don't like that it has a chin.
Oh, I see what you mean. Do y'all remember this motherfucker?
Who is it?
I googled Jack Frost and I found this.
Oh, no, is it the Tumblr sexy man one?
Yeah, it's the sexy Jack Frost. Yeah.
Was this DreamWorks? Was it DreamWorks or?
I think so.
Oh, yeah, it's from DreamWorks Wiki. Okay.
Of course it is.
Yes. I do remember that guy.
I just remember there was like an Australian Easter Bunny or something like that in that movie.
I did not remember that at all.
It's very upsetting.
All right, I'm bringing this back in. Time for track two.
Right. Enough internet memes. Okay, so our general consensus of track one is
bad.
A banger? Yes. Okay.
Horrible.
Hard disagree, but we will move on. All right, track two is I'm giving Santa a Pikachu this Christmas. Very presumptuous.
All right.
Not a fan of this one, actually.
Are we not going to listen to it?
Oh, we are going to listen to it.
Oh, yeah, I guess we should.
I gotta go back to my YouTube. Hold on, guys.
What is it, Professor?
I'm giving Santa a Pikachu this Christmas.
Wow! Just like the one you gave to me?
That's right. I'll hide it in my stocking, and you'll find it rather shocking. 'Cause giving gifts to Santa's quite a novelty.
Okay, sorry, I had to go through like three ads to get to that.
Oh, okay. So y'all hated this one.
This track is primarily sung by Professor Oak, and he's talking about stuffing a Pikachu into a stocking, because animal abuse is okay, I guess. And he's going to just hang it there and wait for Santa to be surprised by a Pikachu jumping out and then apparently forcing the Pikachu into Santa's indentured servitude to power all of his Christmas toys and his new EV sleigh, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a fan. Not a fan.
Y'all are going to hate me. I didn't hate this.
Okay.
I thought the lyrics were bad, but the background instrumentals were decent. And I was pleased to find out there was an instrumental track version of it on the playlist.
So does that mean you're going to sing along?
I did like Ash's delivery of, wow, just like the one you gave to me.
Very Owen Wilson. Wow. Of all the songs they could have picked for like a karaoke sing-along instrumental like track, I don't understand why it was this, but okay.
It should have been Pokemon Christmas Bash, the song.
It should have been.
It should have been.
More dynamic, actually.
All I could think of when I was listening to the song is that horrible Sia Christmas song, Puppies Are Forever.
What?
Because I just kept thinking of, oh yeah. Yeah, look that up. It plays in like Target sometimes. It's bad. I mean, you know, the messaging is great and all. You shouldn't buy puppies for Christmas. Puppies are forever.
Sia, this is not it. What is this?
Guys, do you remember? I'm suddenly reminded. Do you remember that SNL skit where the guy buys his wife a car And they're like, why the hell did you buy me this? We should have had a discussion. This is way too expensive. Like,
yeah.
Here's a PSA going into the holidays. Please do not buy something like a vehicle or an animal without a lengthy discussion first.
If you are buying your spouse a vehicle or an animal without telling them in advance,
bad.
That's a divorce.
But that's a divorce. Absolutely.
And you would think that we knew, no, I will say, as somebody who previously worked in the veterinary industry, people do absolutely still buy their significant others or their kids pets for the holidays.
Animals are not toys.
Moral of the story is Pikachus are a lot of responsibility, and Professor Oak should know.
Exactly. Kelsey, that's such a good point.
Also, I'm kind of weird that, like, he mentions a couple times, like, being excited about the prospect of Pikachu electrifying or electrocuting Santa Claus, and that is weird.
Oak is a sadist. I mean, he did give Ash the problematic Pikachu, and, like...
Yeah.
That's because he had time travel knowledge.
Oh, right. Forgot about Sammy and his time travel.
Kelsey, do you have any idea what we're talking about?
No.
That's a theory.
It's from the Celebi movie. Let's just leave it there.
All right. Okay. Next song.
Okay. So next we have Winter is the Coolest Time of Year.
All right. Let's give it a listen.
I don't need to listen to this. It's in my brain. It's seared into it.
If you can't take that heat, there's a season that's neat. The days and nights are nice and icy clear. There's a thrill in the air when there's a chill in the air. 'Cause winter is the coolest time of year. 'Cause winter is the coolest time of year. 'Cause winter...
So, I don't want to disrespect Rachel Lillis.
Oh, but you're gonna.
Well, I'm actually not gonna disrespect her, because she can sing. We know this.
Okay, can I just stop you real quick?
Okay.
A little rough on the high notes.
I'm going to play devil's advocate for 1 second because I can't imagine how difficult it is to be a voice actor for one thing, but then to be a voice actor and then sing as your character? Impossible. For me, anyway. Like,
that's fair. That's hard. It sounds like somebody having fun. That's what it sounds like.
Okay, I have one question. I think my main critique of this, and, like, let me know if you guys feel the same. I thought it was the most repetitive because they used the words thrill and chill in two different, like, stanzas of the song. Like, I was like, can we just find something else to rhyme? Like, I mean, not like I could write a song and here I am critiquing this, but here we
go. Let's write a song.
I could not write a song.
You might be able to write one of these songs, though.
Oh, fair Maybe. Enough.
I think if you concentrated hard enough and really tried.
I mean, I really don't have anything to say about winter is the coolest time of year, in spite of the fact that Alex apparently used it in an Instagram post.
I did, last Christmas.
My notes just say, this is kind of cute, no notes.
Oh, so. Really?
Yeah. My only other note is... the vocal delivery is a little rough on the high notes.
I mean, could I do any better? No. Are we ready for the next one?
Oh, are we? Is that all our thoughts on...
What more is there to say?
Oh, we didn't talk about the... I do have something else to say. I'm sorry, guys. Ash and Misty's assault of Brock. We're not going to mention that.
Out of character, yes.
They freaking attack him. He's, like, forced to be outside in the cold, which, not for everyone. And then they're like, shut the fuck up, Brock. And then they pour icy cold snow down his shirt and... force him to the ground because it's his scream just gets cut off suddenly. So I'm like, what happened to Brock? I don't know. Okay, so now that Brock has been sufficiently assaulted, let's move into track 4. Nobody don't like Christmas.
Nobody don't like Christmas. It's the happy day that everybody loves. It's the snowflakes drifting down as the folks all over town are trimming trees and knitting.
I feel like the Grinch would disagree with Meowth, but that's...
I mean, I disagree with Meowth. I'm not a big fan of Christmas.
There's also... I think this song isn't very sensitive to people that just don't particularly like the holidays. I mean, the holidays aren't always this, like, time of cheer. I mean, sometimes it's really hard for people to get through the holidays.
Yeah.
All right, let's explain this song. Meowth is listing holidays that are not Christmas and why they're all terrible, but nobody don't like Christmas.
Except that it's revealed that Meowth doesn't like Christmas.
Oh. As a Meowth fan, Kelsey, how do you feel about this characterization of Meowth?
clearly they're going for a Grinch vibe, as Alex pointed out. I guess it was fine. I will say it was a jaunty tune. It was more fun to listen to than some of them. My favorite part is where Meowth says, Memorial Day is a date to forget. That feels really insensitive, actually. I get where they were going for, but maybe could have tabled that one.
I do like turkeys don't celebrate Thanksgiving. That's kind of funny. Then he says St. Patrick's Day is dull. That's, I mean, I guess if you don't drink.
Arbor Day is boring.
Yeah, some of these, they were like, we can't connect it to the holiday. Just say it's bad. Just say it's boring and move on.
The Yom Kippur thing was a little bit, like, fucked up in my
opinion. Is that, like, offensive? I don't know anything about Yom Kippur, but I think it's, like, a big deal.
I mean, it's the most, like, holy day. If you're Jewish, it's the most holy day of the year, so I'm like...
That, to me, also felt like another one where they were like, we don't know what to say about this holiday.
I think there's some political commentary going on here, too.
Oh, the 4th of July?
And the 4th of July can be a real drag if you can't get no one to salute your flag.
Ooh. No.
Did this come out, like, the month of 9/11, by the way?
October 2011.
The month after 9/11. Okay. Man. Interesting timing. Man.
They probably didn't have time to pull certain things. Although, I do agree with his line about some people don't like New Year's. December 31st, the night they dread. They may be blowing on noisemakers, but they're a bunch of fakers because they'd rather all be home asleep in bed. And I'm like, yes, I would also rather be at home.
Alex, you and I are going to celebrate New Year's this year. I'm not going to let that happen to you.
We didn't celebrate it last year, did we?
No, I don't think I did. No.
All right, we'll do something fun then. But yeah, this one was a little bit like offensive, honestly.
But you know, that's okay because it precedes the best song on this album.
I can't believe your favorite's not the Meow song.
No, because...
Because it's anti-Semitic.
The Meow song exists, but it is not not whatever the next song is.
I close my eyes and I see my friends, my family, the happy times that I shared with all the people who care. I'll be so far away from them on Christmas Day, and though we may be apart, I keep my home in my heart. I close my eyes and I see my friends, my family.
All right, so track 5, Kelsey, thoughts, because it seems like this one is the most tonally different than all the rest. This one is like a pretty somber song. It's called I Keep Home in My Heart.
The song starts off with, like, 80s synth. I took it as, like, we're gonna try to capture the, like, 80s melancholy Christmas ballad.
Oh, is that what they were going for? Okay. Like, Last Christmas or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, poorly, but, like, because it still has kind of an up-tempo, like, beat to it. I like that only Brock and Misty are singing about missing their family back home.
Y'all.
Is omitted entirely because he doesn't give a single fuck about his family.
I love that, Kelsey, you also had that thought, because I literally have a note saying Ash is notably missing because he could not give less of a shit about Delia.
Literally. That's amazing.
Thank you for saying that.
My notes on this are, what is this in all caps, and then the 80s synth, the melodrama, and then the line, when you're out on your own, you're always alone. But yeah, this song is the most tonally different. It's weird. We get Misty singing again.
Okay, Rachel Lillis did a much better job with this one. Yeah, I think she was singing more of her actual voice in this one.
Yeah, I think Misty was a little rude, though, in the beginning, because she's like, Brock, are you crying? I'm like, leave the man alone. He's, like, outside just dealing with his emotions, and she jumps up his ass about it.
This exchange that made me realize that this was actually a concept album, and that all the characters that are at Christmas party this whole time, I guess, singing these songs.
Oh, yeah. They're at the work Christmas party.
The song is incredible. That's it. That's all my notes.
Alex, do you think it's in character for Brock to miss home?
You know, that's a good point. Like, I feel like Brock is kind of one of those, like, maybe he's got, like, Stockholm syndrome or something. Like, I don't know. Like, he is abused at home, but he can't help but miss it.
That's very sad.
It is very sad. So I agree with Kelsey's assessment of, like, it's a heartbreaking song because I get him being homesick and, like, missing the chaos of it all, but it's like, aren't you glad to be away from all those responsibilities? But then again, maybe he feels guilty, right? Because Flint and Lola don't take care of the siblings, so maybe he feels, like, really guilty that he's not taking care of his family and they're suffering potentially without him.
Wow.
I can't wait to meet Lola. We're really close.
I know, I can't wait. And I was surprised, you know what, honestly, even more surprising to me than, like, Brock missing his family was Misty saying how much she missed her sisters.
I could actually believe that, though.
They have such an antagonistic relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you think?
I mean, she loves the gym. She loves her home. I don't think she misses them, though.
Well, she does say she misses Cerulean City, and then right. She starts saying she thinks about her sister. She doesn't say she misses her sister. She says she thinks about her sisters.
And they keep me away from home.
Yeah. I don't know. It's an interesting one. I am glad, I guess, that we got a little bit of a break of, like, the happy or silly songs. Like, we have something that's a little bit different.
It was the most fun to listen to. I don't know. That was my opinion.
And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92.
Although it's been said many times, many ways,
Merry Christmas to you.
Track number 6 is a classic. This is literally almost a verbatim cover of the 1940s, 45, I think, a song called The Christmas Song.
Sung by Team Rocket.
Sung by Team Rocket.
I did not know the Christmas song going into this. I did not recognize the title, The Christmas Song, to be a Christmas song that I knew. But I did recognize it once it started up. I recognized it once it started up.
Okay.
Even though there was some really, truly awful backing instrumentals going on.
Yeah.
Did we like Meow's use of a slur?
That's a little, definitely dates the song a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the things they could have changed to a Pokemon name,
I know
that would have been one of them.
Yeah, that is true. Very true, Kelsey. I know, it's weird that some of the things that they changed lyrically, but then others they, like, left completely like the original. Like, it's weird.
Don't they change it to folks dressed up head to toe in more recent iterations? Did I make that up?
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't listened to Christmas music in a long time.
I mean, that would be a good choice. All I have in my notes for the song are they change Rudolph to Stantler. James references 007 for some reason.
Wait, he did? Wait, where?
Yeah.
What the hell? I gotta go listen to that part. What is that replacing?
Nothing. It's in, like, a...
like an insert?
Yeah.
Like Monopoly, like that, one of those.
Kind of, yeah.
What a weird addition to make. Like,
they were looking through the public domain, and they were like, well, this one. We can use this one. I wonder what Nat King Cole thinks about the Pokemon cover of...
When did he pass away?
Right after hearing this song.
Oh my god.
Right after this cover came out.
Directly related... Oh, wait, he died, like, way super early. Why was I thinking he, like, lived way longer? Okay, he'd passed away in 1965, which was definitely before this came out. Or maybe it was Natalie Cole that passed away recently. What does she think
that
about
was,
this?
I was thinking about that, too.
His daughter. Okay, she passed away in 2015, so maybe she had some thoughts on this. I don't know. Any other... I guess this one was the most, like, close to a real Christmas song because it legitimately is a real Christmas song.
There was another one.
Well, the last one, but we haven't got there yet.
Oh, that's not even the one I was talking about.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we'll be there in a second.
Okay.
There's something very special that I'd like to say to you. Merry, Merry Christmas, and I'd like you to know. I'm hoping that I meet someone under the mistletoe. Now there's a crowd at the party. Our friends are all here. Everyone's warm and bright.
Under the mistletoe. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I hate this. I hate this. And I, because I used genius.com to follow along with all the lyrics after we listened to Decorate the Tree. And from genius.com, it reads, "The seventh song on the Pokemon Christmas Bash album, sung by Ash and Misty, is about the mistletoe. The song is best described as the nuke for Ash and Misty shippers."
The nuke?
That, yeah, apparently.
Someone in 2002 wrote that, and they were really proud of themselves. They were like,
yep.
"I hate you, Ash and Misty shippers."
So, are they saying that this is, like, the definitive sign that Ash and Misty ship is not correct or is no longer going because Ash makes it clear that he has nothing to do, wants to do with Misty? Like,
is it possible this is actually all canon and this was the definitive moment that made Misty give up in her hopes and dreams of having a dance with Ash?
It's possible.
Apparently. This one is very much like they're loitering around the office Christmas party and Misty is just like hopeful that somehow they'll both end up standing under the mistletoe together and she can finally get her Christmas wish of kissing Ash. And Ash is very much like avoiding it at all costs and he's very preoccupied with the Christmas cookies.
Ash is like, "I'm a 10-year-old boy." I guess he's 10 for a long time, but...
Oh, true. He's 10 for 25 years. I like the detail that the party's so crowded when, as far as we know, the only people there are them, Team Rocket, Professor Oak, and apparently Nurse Joy is there.
They could only rent out, like, a really small room at the rec hall.
Like, why is this even a problem? Like, just don't stand under it. Like, there is one line where Ash says, "Maybe I'll just stand here and no one will know I'm under the mistletoe." I'm like, well, maybe you should just, like, not stand under it, and that's...
Well, they're in that really small room. There's, like, nothing but mistletoe everywhere.
Well, also Charizard is there, and he seems kind of big. There's Pokemon there, so...
That's what they mean when they say all our friends are here, is their Pokemon. They couldn't invite Brock's and Misty's siblings, but they brought the Pokemon.
I didn't connect the dots of the concept album.
They're pretty loosely connected dots.
This is completely reframing my understanding of these songs.
I guess there's really not a whole lot to say on this one other than... It's pretty inappropriate for 2 10-year-olds to be thinking about this. That's all the girls think about, right, Kelsey? Is just kissing the crush under the mistletoe.
Yeah, this, I think, was my least favorite.
Oh, my least favorite one's the next one, actually.
Okay, that's an interesting one.
I hate it.
Who's got a beard that's long and white?
Santa's got a beard that's long and white.
Who comes around on a special night?
Santa comes around on a special night.
Special night.
That's white. Must be Santa. Must be Santa. Must be Santa. Santa Claus.
The next one is Must Be Santa.
Oh, God. I'm listening to it now. That's bad.
It is not the best version I've heard.
No, I know what the best version you've heard is, Kelsey.
Yeah.
I knew we were going to talk about that. I knew this was coming up.
Oh, We gotta.
Alex, what do you think of Must Be Santa?
Okay, so I just realized that this is an actual song. It said it's a Christmas song written by Hal Moore and Bill Fredericks and is first released in the 60s. I just wrote in my notes that it reminded me of the song Bingo. You guys remember, like, that kid's song?
NGO.
I just said it was my least favorite track because of its juvenile repetitiveness. And that's all I had to say about that because I did not like it.
So my understanding is this is like a drinking song, right?
Yeah.
Like an actual, from a bars.
Really?
Yeah, that's why it has the call and response. Of like, who laughs this way, ho, ho, ho. Santa laughs this way, ho, ho, ho.
So if you're drunk and you're in a European bar, this is a great fucking time. Maybe not the Pokemon version, though. I don't think that would get a good response.
Yeah, probably not.
Okay, this song has more of a history than I realized, but... It still doesn't make me like it anymore. I
have a history with this song.
I know you do.
Oh, God.
For you to understand my history with the song, you need to listen to at least a part of a different version of the song.
Bob Dylan.
The Bob Dylan Christmas album.
Okay, I'm gonna look this up.
Dancer, dancer, Branson, Nixon, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon. Dancer, dancer, Branson, Nixon. Must be Santa, Santa Claus.
Okay, I think I get the idea.
For the listening audience, we, like, watch the entire music video.
Bob Dylan singing it was something, you know, like, Santa, like, the way he does.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Santa, so explain to me the presidents. Why does he list American presidents in this song?
I don't know, but I was looking at the Wikipedia page, and I guess the Bob Dylan version was covered by She and Him. You're familiar with them.
I'm not.
The Zooey Deschanel musical project.
The Zooey Deschanel musical project called She and Him?
Yes. Zooey Deschanel is the she. I don't remember who the him is.
The Property Brother.
No, I don't think so. They included, I'm just quoting Wikipedia. They included a version of the song on their 2016 album, Christmas Party. Based on Dylan's version, it updates the list of presidents to include both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. It was recorded in the summer of 2016.
Ooh. They shouldn't have done that in the first place. That was dumb.
Maybe they're from a different timeline where Clinton actually won, but... Oh.
Anyway, this song is relevant because it was released in, like, 2009, somewhere around there. So growing up, my mom had a friend from high school who ended up moving to where we moved to, the state we moved to when I was a kid. Because they knew each other from before, we would do Christmas and Thanksgiving together. And that friend and her husband eventually, like, her husband was always pretty bad, but they eventually got more and more, extreme right-wing. Like, they're total MAGA people now.
Yeah, I've encountered them before, actually. They were scary.
Yeah, they suck. And for some time, it was kind of just like, oh, it's this tradition. We do it. But almost always, these would kind of devolve into some sort of verbal argument. The worst time was when they came by. It was one of the last times it might have been the last Christmas Eve we did with them. They came over, and I think that the argument started out about the Affordable Care Act.
Oh boy.
Something like that.
Remember when that was considered controversial and, like, a huge failure at the time? Remember that? Remember that time? Oh.
Like, people on the right were really pissed about it. Anyway,
My
grandmother, who had worked in healthcare, she worked in healthcare for, like, 50 years. She is listening to the husband of my mom's ex-friend. We'll call him...
Dan.
Dick.
Dan. Yeah, Dan.
Oh, we can't call him Dick? Okay.
Yeah, well, Dick Dan. Dan is, like, going off on how horrible this is and all this stuff. And my grandmother is fed up. She is done. And she challenges him, and he can't take it because not only is a woman contradicting what he is saying, but also it doesn't align with his worldview. So they start having an argument that devolves into, like, a really heated, like they're yelling at each other. At one point, my grandmother, I mean, she's, like, just straight up calling him stupid. You don't know what you're talking about. And at one point, he says something, and she yells at him, "Where'd you learn that? Your talk radio!" That was, like, it was the escalation. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, this is really uncomfortable. And, like, his sons are getting into it. And, like, it's escalating to the point where I'm like, okay, we need to calm this down. So I go over to the stereo because I knew that there was some sort of Christmas music in there. And I press play. And without knowing, really, the volume was kind of high. Also without knowing that the only album in there was the Bob Dylan Christmas album. So what pumps loudly through the stereo as my grandmother is screaming at this man is Must Be Santa.
Must Be Santa.
Santa. Oh, but oh, also, like, the weird klezmer polka, "Who laughs this way, ho ho ho." Like, Bob Dylan Must Be Santa. So every time I hear this song, all I can think of is the chaos of that moment.
Thank you, Bob Dylan, for diffusing the situation.
I wasn't even there, and I also associate this song with that moment, Kelsey.
Yeah.
So I really think it's too bad that the CD that was in the stereo was not Pokemon Christmas Bash.
Oh.
And that you didn't play this iteration.
It would have calmed everybody down.
Everyone would be like, what is happening?
Yeah, well, I think they all already were like, what is happening? But
okay.
What a lovely end to that tale. That was bonkers.
That's the true Christmas experience right there. Let's not fuck around. We're gonna be like meow on this.
I know. That's interesting. I had never heard that song before. That's actually surprising because I thought that this was like a weird Pokemon concoction, but apparently it's a well-known song, so silly me. Any other thoughts on Must Be Santa, Bob Dylan or otherwise? No? Okay, let's move on. Here's the penultimate track. This is The Night Before Christmas, and this isn't even a song, you guys. This is a reading.
And we apparently were no longer at the Christmas party because now we're elsewhere.
We're back home. Yeah, we're back home waiting for Santa. I thought it might be fun if we read this out, but I don't know what you guys think.
Can we commentate as we read through it?
Sure. Do we want to read? Are we going to read? Okay.
Kelsey, what are your thoughts?
Kelsey, what do you think?
How are we splitting this up?
Yeah, who do you want to... Does anybody have any preferences, or we'll just...
Can we drop a version that has people's names?
Oh, I got it. I got you.
Okay, cool. Because the version I have just is the text.
Here's the link with the lyrics. Or words.
Okay, I think I have to be James.
Okay, so of the twerps, Ash, Brock, and Misty, there's three of us and three of them. So how do you want to do that? And then we'll do the Team Rocket. Any preferences, Kelsey, on who you would like to be? Mm-mm. We'll give you
just
first pick.
To be. Oh, no.
Misty?
Sure, I'll be Misty.
You're Misty. Okay, Austin, who do you want to be?
I'll be Brock.
All right, I'll be Ash then. I don't think we need to go through, like, the extra stuff.
No, that's the best part.
Oh, you want to do that? Okay, we'll just do it from the beginning, then.
Okay.
Austin's going to be James, so do you want to be Jesse or Meowth?
I'll be Meowth.
Okay. Yeah, Alex, you do a good Jesse.
I do not, but thank you. Let's start. This is the Night Before Christmas Pokemon Bash version. Brr, it's freezing out there.
Close the door! Did you get more wood?
Wait, I thought Kelsey was Misty.
Oh, god damn it.
I thought I was too.
Why did I think I was Misty? I don't know how I thought I was Misty.
Ash, you can be Misty.
No, I don't want to be Misty. Now. You be Misty.
All right, you want to start over? We'll start over. From the top. Right. Brr, it's freezing out there.
Close the door. Did you get more wood?
Oh, yeah. I say that exactly the way he said it, okay?
Yep. He goes, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got more wood for you, Misty.
Was that on purpose? I think it was on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was definitely on purpose.
Hey, what's that?
It's a Christmas poem. 'Twas the night before Christmas. I downloaded it from the internet.
That was my favorite part of the entire
the
album.
The internet.
I downloaded this from the internet and then presumably printed it out.
I was also thinking she printed it out.
Yeah.
I know this is like not even that long ago, but I feel embarrassed even admitting it. When we were in college, this was 2009, I was printing out MapQuest directions to get back to school and having the printed physical piece of paper in the car with me to get back home. So I was not alone. Okay, good.
No. I have a memory of printing out MapQuest directions and going to visit Leslie.
Wow.
Yeah, and you got lost.
We got lost because our directions were wrong.
Fuck you, MapQuest. God.
And then it sucked because we didn't have smartphones. So, like, we're just wandering, like, late at night, trying to get home, trying to figure out where we are. There is nothing.
I literally have a memory of that similar to because I got lost and then I called my mom and I was like, Mom, oh my God, I don't know where I am. Here's where I am. And so she had to go to the internet and like plug in where I was.
Literally the same exact thing I did.
Anyway. Well, because she's like, okay, where are you exactly? And I was like, I'm at the intersection of blank and blank, wherever it was. And she's like, okay, I see where you are. And I'm like, okay, can you tell me which roads I have to go to get back to the highway or wherever? She's like, all right, go here. Embarrassing. Yeah.
Yep, that's exactly the same thing that we did.
That's hilarious. Downloaded it from the internet. Okay. Oh, I know this one. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even Meowth. Ha ha!
Eggnog's ready. Oh my god, so we're drinking. Cool.
Eggnog?
Yeah, Brock made eggnog and Christmas cookies.
All right.
Oh, you guys are reading The Night Before Christmas. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and...
I already read that part, pick it up from here, Brocco.
Right. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there.
The children were nestled, all snug in their beds, while visions of vile plumes danced in their heads.
Hey, where'd you download this version from, Misty?
That's such a weird thing to say, but whatever. Oh my god, y'all, this is my favorite part of the whole thing. And my mom in her kerchief, and Mr. Mime in my cap, and I think Professor Oak was there too, had just settled their brains for a long winter's nap.
Love it.
You cannot tell me they didn't know exactly what they were doing.
Oh, that was fully intentional.
That was blatantly, there's nothing else it could possibly be.
Professor Oak was there too.
I'm more alarmed by Mr. Mime dressing like Ash.
Well, if you recall my Halloween horror story.
Oh, shit.
Then
I forgot about that.
That would make a lot of sense, though, wouldn't it?
Oh, no.
Please visit our previous fan fiction episode for context.
When out on the roof, there arose such a clatter.
Hey, what was that? Did anybody else hear that?
I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter.
Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutter, and saw Rapidash.
The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to jinxes below.
I hate that there's just Jinx sitting outside. Ugh.
Yeah, what are they doing? They're just crowding around the house? Like, what the hell?
Isn't it carolers? Is that what they're supposed to be?
Well, it seems like they're just, like, standing there menacingly. Like, it's nighttime. People are trying to sleep. Like, get the hell out of here, Jinx.
When what to my half-open eye should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer?
With the little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick.
More rapid than Moltres, his course as they came, he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Ah! To protect the world from devastation! Team Rocket, I knew I heard something. What are you doing here?
We came to capture some rare Pokemon. I can't do voices, I'm sorry. So the boss will give us our Christmas bonuses this year.
Oh, isn't that quaint? They're reading a Christmas poem.
Ooh! Jesse, this is my favorite part. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen. On Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen.
To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all. Mouth is like 85 years old in my
interpretation. He's an elderly person.
Interpretation.
Anyway, as I was saying, move over, twerp, I'm reading this part. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop, the courses they flew, with a sleigh full of toys.
And some Pokemon, too.
And then in a twinkling, I heard on the rooftop, the prancing and pawing of each little Machop. As I drew my head and was turning around, down the chimney, St. Nicholas came with a pound. Ew.
Ew.
He was dressed in all fur from his head to his foot. A lot like me, actually. And his clothes were all tarnished, like ashes with soot.
Huh?
Tarnished.
That was Ash reacting to that.
Yeah.
A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a trainer just opening his pack.
His eyes, how they twinkled. His dimples, how merry. Ooh! His cheeks were like roses. His nose like a cherry. His drone little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin as white as the snow.
The stump of a pipe he held tight in his cheek, and he smoked it and circled his head like a wreath.
I can't believe they kept in the smoking.
Okay, I just want to point out that the Bulbapedia lyrics are fucking wrong because, one, it's supposed to be droll little mouth, and two,
oh my God,
it's supposed to be wreath, not reef. So, shame on you, Bulbapedia.
You mean to tell me, Alex, we found incorrect information on Bulbapedia?
Well, they can't fucking claim that this article is part of Project Music, an article that aims to write comprehensive articles on each song. Now, can they? Stupid idiot.
I always feel bad making fun of Bulbapedia because I assume it's being run by 12-year-olds.
No, these are grown-ass people, Austin.
No, definitely not.
Well, they're not very comprehensive, and so I say shame on you, Bulbapedia. Anyway,
how would you circle one's head like a wreath?
That's exactly the question, isn't it, Kelsey? How would you? Because it's wrong. It's fucking wrong.
You throw a corsola at them?
Okay. He had a broad face and a round little belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly.
He was chubby and bald. A right jolly old elf. And I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me the note I had nothing to dread.
He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk.
And laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod up the chimney he rose.
He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle.
But I heard him exclaim as he drove off to the mall.
What?
He drove to the mall.
I guess he's gonna refill his presents. Okay. All right, let's do this in sync.
Happy Pokemon Christmas. Catch 'em all.
Catch 'em all.
Wow.
That was awful.
That was something, you guys. We're not voice actors, so again...
No.
So I don't know why you volunteered us, but we did it.
We did it because it was funny. That's why. And we have to entertain the people.
And we gotta point out all of Bulbapedia's many flaws.
Mm-hmm. Many, many flaws. Okay, so that was that. Perfect, wonderful, love that. Now we have the last song, Christmas Medley. We've come to the end of the Pokemon Christmas Bash. This one is just like it says. It's a medley of different jingles.
Which I didn't recognize all the songs because they were so, like, distorted.
So the first one was Jingle Bells.
That I got.
For sure. Rap-a-dashing through the snow with a horsey on our sleigh. Pokeballs, Pokeballs, throw them all the way. The next one was, I don't recognize this one. This one was fucking weird. It's apparently, the song is originally called Good King Wenceslas. Wenceslas, yeah. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
And I thought the lyrics were weird. Can anybody, like, sing this? Like, does anybody have the, like, tone? Because I can't remember how it goes.
Here's one of my favorite, Ash says. I'm listening to it.
Nidoking was falling down on his trainer, Steven.
First they won and then they lost, so the match was even. Nidoking return, he said. I can win this duel.
This is not Yu-Gi-Oh.
So, who is Steven? And, like, why is Nidoking falling on him? Is he dead? Like, what happened?
What are the original lyrics? What is this song called?
Good King Wenceslas. This is not something I'm familiar with at all.
I've heard it before. It's Bing Crosby.
It's one of those, like, third-tier Christmas songs.
Good King look out on the Feast of Steven.
Oh, what's the Feast of Steven?
I don't know.
Okay, so this is like a Christmas carol that tells the story of a 10th century king. So it wasn't Bing Crosby at first. I mean, this is like...
Oh, well, I've heard Bing Crosby.
I mean, this was like way before.
St. Stephen's Day, also called the Feast of St. Stephen, is a Christian saint's day to commemorate St. Stephen, the first Christian martyr. Or proto-martyr.
Okay.
So y'all, we're going deep.
This, for context, this was the hymn writer John Mason Neal wrote the lyrics in 1853. So this is a long time ago.
So I can see why this is public domain for them to use. Okay.
Okay, next one is Joy to the World.
I laughed at this one. It caught me off guard.
This one is funny. Nurse Joy is a girl. She sure is fun. But I like Jenny too.
What was the next one? I didn't recognize that one. At all.
Here we come a caroling.
Here we come a caroling.
Here we come caroling?
Here we come a wassailing.
Oh, yeah. That's from like the Middle Ages, I think.
Christ almighty.
Public domain.
Can we get back to like the rapping?
No. You know what we really should do since we're going by this line by line? We should do the karaoke version. We should sing along.
No.
Oh my goodness.
No. Unlimited power! I didn't mean to become Sheev, but it happened.
I was waiting for you to devolve into Palpatine with that. Okay. The next one is O Tannenbaum, which is... This one was cute. I like this one a lot. Meowth sings it.
Is it not O Christmas Tree?
Well, that's...
It is O
Christmas. Is that the same? What is O Tannenbaum?
Yeah. It's what the Christmas tree is called. O Tannenbaum, O Tannenbaum.
These are all songs that they made us play in middle school orchestra. That's how I knew Good King Wenceslas. It was like the third song we learned in sixth grade.
So Tannenbaum is German for fir tree.
Yeah. It's yeah. O Christmas Tree, O Christmas Tree.
Okay, that makes sense. Never knew that.
Then the 12 Days of Christmas, which is a classic, of course. Everybody sings that one. On the 12th day of Christmas, a trainer sent to me.
12 bulbs soaring.
11 Lapras leaping.
10 Tenta crueling.
9 Tails a wagging.
Oh, all company. 8 Mucka mucking.
7 Squirtle squirting.
Ew.
Ew. 6 Diglin digging.
5 Goldeen.
4 Charizard.
3 Ekans.
2 Electabuzz.
And a Farfetch'd with great agility. Oh, that doesn't work
perfect.
Very well.
All right. And then the last big finale song is to the tune of We Wish You a Merry Christmas, which is a Merrill Christmas. Ha ha.
And a Hoppip New Year. And with that,
clever.
The beast has been slain.
And so we have reached the end of the Pokemon Christmas Bash. And what a bash it was.
We were starting to lose it near the end there.
I mean, there's only so much you can say about a lyrical, like an album. I mean, you have to listen to it.
No, I mean like our minds.
Oh, right. We were losing it. Okay. Ultimate thoughts on the album, you guys. What did you think? What was your favorite track and least favorite track?
Oh, whew. Least favorite track, definitely Under the Mistletoe. Favorite track, I Keep Home in My Heart. No question.
Oh, Kelsey had those. She came swinging out the gate. She's like, this is my favorite.
Yeah.
My least favorite's going to be The Night Before Christmas because that was fucking boring. But my favorite's going to be The Night Before Christmas because of the line of, and I think Professor Oak was there for some reason.
That was the best line. My favorite, or I would say my least favorite, is the Santa one or whatever. It must be Santa. I didn't like it. Did not like it. My favorite is gonna be the Pokemon Christmas Bash.
Ah.
The first one, the rap. It's so good, you guys. It's so 2000s. I love it so much. Very Dream Street. Just
uh-huh.
Have to say that.
Oh, I gotta send you a music video I sent to Kelsey earlier, Alex.
Is
oh
it my God. Dream Street?
No. It's a boy band from the 90s.
Oh my God, I love a boy band from the 90s.
You're not prepared for this one.
I doubt it, but I'm gonna...
Is that from the 90s? It looks like it's from the 80s.
I think it was like early 90s.
Like, they look 80s as fuck.
I'm gonna wait with bated breath for that.
Oh yeah, 1990. So I guess that's why. Like, some of those guys looked very 90s, and then but the one blonde guy with the spiky hair looked very 80s.
And he was like the front man, it seemed like.
The video zoomed in on him a whole bunch, so I'm assuming as well.
I kind of want to watch it now, but it's not relevant.
We can watch it after we finish recording. We can have a group watch.
That would be perfect.
For the audience, it's Take That. It's the band, and the song is called Do What You Like.
I've never heard of either of these things, so I'm interested to see what sort of masterpiece. All right. Any final thoughts on the Pokemon Christmas Bash album?
It happened.
And RIP, I guess this is the last one they ever, like, did, so enjoy it. Wait, was there not another Christmas album? I thought there was. Or was this it?
I think it was it.
This is it. All right. This is what the world got, and that's all we're gonna get. I wish they would have made, like, a Halloween album. That would have been, like, perfect. But they don't really, like, talk about Halloween at all.
Christmas makes more money.
Christmas does make more money. Well, all right. We hope you guys enjoyed that. And I hope you were listening along as we went. Because these songs kind of need context to make sense of. And not just us talking about it unhinged. Kelsey, thank you so much for being our special guest star on this episode for the album. We appreciate
on this album.
You being... On this album.
On this album that we're going to drop at midnight tonight.
Yeah. You're very welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. Anytime. Austin, this is our, like, super secret special Christmas episode, but what is the next? Is this coming out? When is this coming out, actually?
Right before Christmas, actually.
Okay. What's the next on our list?
Okay, we're back to normal. Lapras of Luxury and Hatch Me If You Can.
Oh, I bet I think I know where this is going.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Maybe. I've been very wrong a lot of the time, so we shall see. I think with that being said, we can close ourselves out here. I just want to say, as always, thank you guys so much for listening. We know this was a different one, but we hope you enjoyed it. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can always do so. Our email account is outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, at outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. We also have our new Blue Sky that Austin posts some really fun stuff over on. So check us out over there. Our handle is outofthedryingpan. We also have our Instagram at outofthedryingpan. And if you like what we do, you can always support our endeavors here on Out of the Drying Pan by visiting our Patreon, the link to which is in our description. We have some really cool bonus content over there, so please check us out. We would appreciate the support. And we also want to say from all of us here on Out of the Drying Pan, we hope you have a merry holiday season. Stay safe, enjoy, and we will see you soon as the journey continues.